Well, again, good morning, everyone. We appreciate you taking the time to be on. And Dale, if you would, please open us up in prayer this morning.
Our Father, thank you for a beautiful day. We come to you this morning in Jesus' name and ask for you to open our hearts and our minds to the message that you want to deliver to us on this call. We ask for you to speak clearly through Leah, through the others who will be leading this call. Lord, we look forward to your direction as we seek to see you restore righteousness throughout our nation. So we give ourselves to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dale. Great. Well, I'm going to go ahead and turn it right over to Leah.
Actually, Summer, could you do a quick roll call? I'd love to know who's on the call this morning first before we start.
Oh, sure. We have Dale in Minnesota. We have our team. We have Elizabeth Sorensen in Washington, Jason Williams in Ohio, Delbert Pratt in Illinois, Bill Martin in Kentucky, Sharon Pierce in North Carolina, and I know a couple others said they'd be joining a few minutes late.
Great. Excellent. Thank you so much. Thrilled to have each one of you on the call, and I know that we're also going to be taping this. Welcome to all of you, and we're grateful, obviously, of course, always for all the work that you're doing, and it's so fun to hear every week about the advancement and the things that are happening. I'm going to just give you a couple of quick updates on what's been happening, plus I wanted to add a couple of new components that are just rolling out as well. First, a quick update on Keep Faith in America. So incredibly grateful again for all the work that happened in January, because that has really launched something pretty cool. We are continuing to post those videos that were taken in January and all of those events. We're going to be continuing to post those throughout April. We boost many of them and we share them. We target them to the various states. So those will continue to get play all throughout April as we post the individual videos. We also are working on the university component of it, the church component. As you well know, we put church videos together. Then we rolled those out to about 180, it looked like it was about 170,000, 180,000 churches for about 8 or 9 major partnerships. And those rolled out a couple of different times. We had a lot of folks that were promoting those. And then also now moving into the universities, it's about putting together some personality-driven short 3-4 minute videos and talking questions. And that is a project that will take as long as it takes. I mean, when we have some folks that have said, yes, they're going to do it, they're potentially in process of making those. As we get those, we'll just see how long it takes. There's no hurry on that, but we'll just keep that ball rolling to get the conversation going in the universities. We've reached out to a number of organizations like CRU and Ignite and different ones that have campus ministry groups and talked to them about how best to equip their chapters. So those conversations are happening. Thank you for all the help that any of you have and connections that you've given us. That is ongoing. That is not something that is complete. So if you have, I mean, just continue to keep helping us. If you have connections or conversations you want to have, you can have kind of let Summer know that you have a conversation or a connection that you want to give, bring to the table. The other thing is that's rolling out with Keep Faith in America, this is a undergirding thing that we had planned all along, which is to tell the stories of faith across America. So we're just, through the social platforms, we're just trying to highlight constantly how people are keeping faith in America, the inspiring stories to just fill the airwaves with people and organizations who are actually doing it, keeping faith in America in a wide variety of ways. There's no limit to the ways in which we can describe how people of faith are positively impacting and bringing positive things to the culture because of their faith. They're bringing faith in America. So it's both, yes, we're bringing God to schools, or we're bringing prayer to government, or we're bringing whatever, but we're also going out into the culture and doing positive things because of our faith. And that's why we're doing it. So there's a lot of that. So any stories that you have that you want to bring, that you want to highlight, bring those to the table. And it's not just going through Keep Faith in America, but we have a lot of bigger partners that have much bigger reaches that are also pushing out those stories. So just so you know, that's a big push that'll just be ongoing. We'll continue to remind you to do that as we go on. The other thing, just to remind you, I know Summer has offered this many times. Some of you have taken us up on this. We do this pretty regularly, but we want to make sure that you know that any time that it would be beneficial to have a teleconference call with your state legislators, a visit by me to your state, please know that that's on the table. We make that a priority. We want to make that happen for you if it would be helpful and a blessing and would be encouraging for your legislators. I was so thrilled to just be recently have a chance to visit with the legislators in Alaska, and we were able to sort of reignite the vision and the mission, met one-on-one with the legislators. The meeting went so well with the five or six that were there that they then set up one-on-one meetings for me right after with some of the folks that couldn't make it to just keep talking and strategizing. So just so you know, that can be very effective. And Congressman Forbes, whenever possible, he isn't always available, but whenever possible, we'll link him in, and we were able to do that in Alaska. So he was able to call in, talk with the legislators. It's very inspiring. And so that is something that I was very excited also. I was in Washington. I was going to meet with the folks there, but we had a crazy, Elizabeth was so great. She was coordinated and all. And then we had this crazy, crazy accident on I-5 that blocked all lanes and sort of thwarted that effort. But that's okay. Well, I get back to Washington frequently enough that we'll make it happen another time. But just so you know, that's available. We want to make that happen. The other thing I wanted you to know about, these are two new things that are just sort of rolling out that I wanted you to be aware of. One of the things that we have realized is so powerful is these networks that are building. So this legislative network obviously is the core of who we are. But we realized, too, that the Congressional Prayer Caucus, there's another network of people, which is the Congressional Prayer Caucus Wives. Those ladies are very influential. They're very willing to get involved. They have a lot of resources, time, and energy, and they're very committed to what we're talking about and what we're doing. And the more that we have had a chance to talk with and get to know them, we realized they'd like to get involved. They just don't know how. So Nancy Schultz, who is a former wife of Dick Schultz, was a very influential member of Congress for years, and she's still very involved up in D.C., is going to chair or co-chair a Congressional Wives Council. And so she's putting together the wives. We're going to start with probably about 20, 25 wives she expects that will be at this first meeting on May 15th. And we're going to be just talking about how this Congressional Wives Council could form and the kinds of things they could do. And the things that they got excited about is not just at the federal level, but they started talking about ways in which they could potentially help at the state level. Those congressional wives have impact, and they have the ability to do some things behind the scenes as well. So they potentially could reach out to some of the wives of the legislators, or they could help be at some of these events or help mobilize. So there was a lot of great conversation around that. I just wanted you to know that's another network that we're launching. The first meeting is May the 15th in D.C. We'll let you know kind of where that's going. If you have any suggestions or ideas or thoughts, please let us know as we kind of move into that of equipping those congressional wives on how they can help advance the full mission of what CPCF and APCN and what you guys are all doing.
Leah, may I interrupt for a second and ask a question?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. This is Dale in Minnesota. I'm wondering if it's possible that any of those ladies might be available during FRC's Watchmen on the Wall conference, which is the following week, the 23rd through 25th. Some of us from Minnesota will be out there, and that might be a great connection for us if it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very possible, Dale. And what that's one of the things we'll talk about. Now, what most people don't understand is these wives mostly are not in D.C. Typically, they may come once a month. And the reason why we have the event on May the 15th is because once a month they do a Congressional Wives Luncheon. And so these ladies try to come into town that week, and that would be the week before. So
got it.
A few might be here, but most of them would be back in their home districts.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. The other thing I wanted to make you guys aware of, and this is very exciting, and this is sort of a new thing that's rolling out. And I say new thing, and I don't really mean brand new, but it's a new intentionality and a new level of engagement. Some of you might be aware of a website or a social media platform, Facebook page called Pray America. It was built by SM21, Strategic Media 21. Mark Weimer is behind that. My husband Rolf also works with Mark Weimer at SM21, so he's tangentially was related to this Pray America, certainly was involved with it, knew about it. Well, they have about 2.8 million followers, about 60% regular engagement. They've really worked hard to make this a place where they can promote prayer for America. And they have since recently really decided they wanted to make this social media page much more accessible and much more of a resource for the prayer movement. And so there's going to be a lot more conversation with a lot of the prayer networks about how they can position themselves as a resource and the ability to be a megaphone for the prayer movement and what's happening across America. You're going to be hearing more about that and how we might be participating. But just so you know, I just wanted you to be aware of that resource that is out there. Of course, there's relationships with, they have direct relationships with a lot of the major ministries already. They work with Dave Butts. They work with Ronnie Floyd. They work with a lot of the folks who have big prayer movements already. But what they want to do is they want to open this up for all the groups, the individual intercessor who wants to receive specific things, as well as the small prayer ministries and prayer groups who maybe have initiatives that they might want to target to a particular area, or they just want to get the word out about, as well as the big organizations, the big prayer networks who they want to just continue to promote. They're looking for potential resources. They're looking for initiatives they can promote. So just so you know, that is something that we're going to be talking about. So when we roll out things, you know, through CPCF or if you have, you know, things that are happening in your state that you wish you could get more awareness around, more involvement in, this could be a really great resource if it makes sense to do it through a social media page. It doesn't always make sense. And they can target as well. So it's not like you go, well, my gosh, I don't want the whole world to know this. I just simply want, you know, the state of Minnesota to know this. They can target, obviously, Minnesota, and they're happy to do that. So just so you know, that resource is there. You'll hear more about it. We'll hear more about it. We'll have things that we can send you about it. But that would be a great area to include in your strategic conversations when you're thinking about how do we want to advance prayer for our legislators or our prayer meetings or movements or whatever. I'm going to talk about two more things, and then I'll open it up for questions on any of these things that you might have. Also, was very happy to be in D.C. Last week and meet with several of the members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus. That's always a fun time to inform them of what is happening across the states. They're always so incredibly encouraged. And if I happen to be in a meeting with one of the members of Congress that is from your state, I always give them an update on what your Legislative Prayer Caucus is doing, some of the efforts. I always get a download from Summer. Here's what's happening. I always give them your name, the name of your prayer caucus chairs, so that they just hear about you and what you're doing. The other thing that was really fun is that when I was meeting with Mark Walker, Summer and I were meeting with Grace and Representative Mark Walker, and he mentioned that the Room 219 prayer meeting that previous Monday had been the biggest one that he had in ages, even since that he had taken over. So he was so energized and excited to see how many of the members had come to Room 219 to pray that Monday night before. Also that Monday night at 8:30, Senator Lankford, the other co-chair in the Senate, held his quarterly prayer walk. What was so inspiring about that is not only did he have, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, I'm not sure how many people were there at that prayer walk, and the purpose was to literally spend an hour, go to the Senate chamber, the House chamber, which they were still debating, so we do in the statuary hall, the speaker's balcony and then the original judicial, where the Supreme Court used to meet. And those four locations, very strategic to pray over the four branches, well, Senate, House, White House, and Justice, Supreme Court. But what was really great about this, too, is at the end of the whole thing, he wraps up by giving his personal testimony of how he met Jesus Christ as his Savior. And if anybody else wants to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, please ask anybody on the staff that might be interested. It just was so much fun to be standing there and thinking, oh, my word, if people knew this was happening, they would absolutely have apoplexy and, you know, fall out in a rash. But it was just, that's the kind of stuff. And I think, too, Representative Loudermilk, Representative Walker said, the thing that they love is it's so fun for them to give testimony of how much of that is going on at the Capitol, how many prayer meetings, how many Bible studies, how many meetings, how much faith is in the conversation. And I get it. It's hard to imagine that there's all that going on and still so much craziness and what seems to be, I mean, let's not go there, right? We all see what we see, but know that God is working in the hearts of men and women. And the more that we can be the mouthpiece, I think that's one of the things that I hear from them frequently is it is so encouraging to them to know that we are out there giving testimony of that and telling people what is actually happening and asking them to please pray because it's real. And these are real, real people of faith that are really trying to do the right thing and they desperately need our prayers. And so they're very happy for us to be getting the word out. They actually asked if we would please revise the video, the original 219 video, which we have been wanting to do. We plan to do hopefully in the next couple of months because it's outdated. Half the people are no longer in Congress. They really want to use that video to get the word out about what they're doing in D.C. So we plan on doing that. And that'd be a blessing for all of us. It's something you can use, they can use. They also were active as well. They had just finished signing on to a letter written about the humanist chaplain saying that we strongly stand against that. And, of course, thankfully, because of not only their efforts, but many of the organizations came in together, they stopped that plan to put a humanist chaplain in place in the military. So they are also involved in continuing to do things actively together. One last thing about that is the one thing that is related to you guys that came out of the meeting, because I'm always looking for what can we do to support you members better, what would be more helpful for you as you continue to be a part of this network. And one of the two of the members actually said, we would actually really love to know more about what our state legislative members are doing as it relates to legislation and actions, because there might be things that we can do to support their activities and their actions. So these things that we're working with you guys on and you're keeping us informed on what's happening at the state level, these are things that we are actively wanting to get back to those members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus. And that's just one more way to connect the congressional member with the state member in your state. And the more we can build those networks, now most of them know each other because they're like-minded. Rarely do I go into an office of a congressional member and say, hey, yeah, these are your state prayer caucus chairs, and they go, gee, who are they? I think 99% of the time, in fact, I can't even think of one time where they said anything other than, oh, yes, of course, I know so-and-so and so-and-so. They are good people. I'm so glad they're your chairman. So it's not that they don't know each other. It's just that they don't necessarily, aren't necessarily aware of what's happening at the state level. And the aides said, and the legislator said, it would actually be really helpful if we had a way to get that information a little more systematically because we'd like to know that and see what we can do to support. So we will be, you know, continuing to try to build that communication pipeline and keep that going from our end. And so all your help in getting us that information is always extremely valuable. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is this is not a new idea. We've actually been talking about this idea for a couple of years, but we actually think it may happen this fall. We're looking at doing a state director retreat. We were not able to pull off a summit this year, which was disappointing, but we pretty much knew that because of several several things, it was not going to happen. We are right now in the process of working on a 2019 summit that would be the full summit. So we have real hopes that that will happen in 2019. We're talking about doing it. We have to really relook at our model and our timing because we've now grown to a size where we have to just do it a little differently, as well as we need to make sure that we're doing it at a time that is the most likely available for our state legislators and location and cost and all those things. So we're re-looking at everything and hope to do one in 2019. But in the meantime, we would really love to get our state directors together for a state director retreat meeting. We're not calling it a summit because we want it to be a little more informal. We have a location, one of our partners, two of our partners, actually two of our very significant financial partners, legacy partners, actually not legacy, one legacy and one, anyway, whatever, financial partners. They have homes on Lake Anna right next, like 5 minutes from each other. They're big homes, rental homes, and one of them sleeps about 17 people. One of them sleeps about 10 people. And they have big meeting spaces, giant kitchens. They're just, we've used them in the past for various meetings and retreats and things. But we started thinking, I wonder, could we use them for our state director retreat this year? Now, we may grow, by next year, we potentially might grow out of that. But this year, we thought maybe that would be a great option for us. Very affordable, very informal, but yet a beautiful location on Lake Anna. Both of them have overlook the water, huge yards, really fun locations. So we just were wondering if that would be something that you guys would be interested in doing. We're talking about maybe as a fall date, late September, October. We have some potential questions for you that we're going to send you an email. We want to get your feedback before we go any further on this. We have gotten the yes from both of them. They'd be more than happy for us to use their homes. We're starting to get dates that are available in both of the homes, and we're comparing those of what our potential dates would be. But we have some questions for you about some of the questions that we are still debating about how it would work best for you, and especially as it relates to during the week versus weekend, a Thursday, Friday versus a Friday, Saturday, things like that, spouses, so cost. So we're gonna just shoot that over to you after the call. You'll get that. Please, if you wouldn't mind just taking a quick look at that within 24 hours, just get us back. It'll take you 3 minutes just to think it through, get back to us, a couple of quick answers, and that way we can really put this together and move forward on this. I think several of you have said you'd really like this to happen. We understand it may not be that everybody can be there, but if we could get the majority of us there, we think it would be a really valuable time. It would be for not only relationships, but strategy, networking, and equipping. We feel like it could be a great time for all of us. So with that, I'm going to open it up for questions and then pass it on over to you, Summer.
I just have a quick question. This is Donna from Kansas. Where is Lake Anna?
Oh, great question, Donna. Lake Anna is about 2 hours outside of D.C., about 1 hour from Richmond, so it would be, you could fly into Richmond, you could fly into Frederick,
okay.
Charlottesville, something like that. You can even fly
okay,
to
thanks.
D.C. and come down. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. That's
thanks.
A great question, Donna. All righty. Well, it sounds like we had several more people join us, too. We're so grateful that the rest of you are on. And, Summer, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Thank you. Yeah, actually, I was going to welcome those who joined us. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Walker, Mike Porter, Renee Padilla, Jason Walker in Colorado, Mike Porter, Kentucky, Renee Padilla in Arizona. I have two numbers I don't recognize. I have a 479 number. Who is that, please?
And that would be Joel Hunt. I'm calling on my cell phone.
Oh, great. Hi, Joel. Great. Joel in Nebraska. A 402 number as well. Who is that, please?
Well, the 402 would be mine if that's the area code.
Oh, I have two. Okay. Well, okay, good.
Well, the other 479 is Tony in Arkansas.
Oh, hi, Tony. Fantastic. Thank
hi.
You. Great. And then we have Donna in Kansas, and we have Pastor Randy Mathis in Virginia. So great. Thank you all for being on. We have some, I just want to share a couple of other things. We are excited that we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to advance into new states. It looks like South Dakota is going to be coming on here shortly. We are looking for state directors in several states as well. But we have 27 state directors so far, and we do encourage all of you to continue to connect and communicate. There's a couple ways that can be done. One, we started the CPCF Family Facebook group to help facilitate communication and connection. So that's a great place to post, you know, events, pictures, effort, questions, comments, happy birthdays, I mean, anything that you would want to do just to, again, kind of facilitate communication between one another. Obviously, email, obviously, call, texting. But, again, we just want to continue to say there's a large network out there. And I know, you know, sometimes it feels like everybody's working in their own specific world and you want to connect with others that are like-minded. And most of you do, but again, some of the newer ones, I just want to remind you that there's a big network out there of people who have been at this for several years and may be a really good resource for you as well. So hopefully, and we do hope everybody will be able to come to this retreat. It really will be a good time of connecting all of you incredible people together. So good. Well, the other thing I wanted to mention is there's just been some, you know, we work really hard to not only do what we're asking, you know, you all to do, but we really do work very hard in a number of ways to continue to advance religious freedom on the national level and connect with, and as it relates to the prayer world, connect with prayer networks and groups. I mean, attending nonstop meetings and conferences and joining prayer calls, and we're on prayer email strings and prayer texts, and I mean, really just working to do what we can to help continue to facilitate connections with national organizations and prayer groups. Also, we're continuing to work in the city to build relationships with the various religious freedom organizations that are working very, very hard to advance this mission. So, one of the things that that's developed recently is a meeting between several of the policy think tanks and policy groups that are working on religious freedom. We're all praying together. This is once a month. That's where this 21-day fast came out of. It, just a realization that we really need to see breakthrough. And thankfully, these six or so groups said, let's engage in a fast and seek the Lord for help in these matters. So, again, we're just excited about what you all are doing, and we wanted to, again, just give an update on some of the ways and things that we're doing here. I mean, we're constantly working with people in the city and in the nation on prayer, on-the-ground prayer strikes and strategies and things. It's our life, and we really do consider it a great honor to be able to be connected with you all who are doing the very same thing. As it relates to social media, I just wanted to remind everyone that we, Angie and Jess are available to help with social media. A lot of you are working very hard to continue to build your state networks. And just a quick reminder, I'm so sorry, if we could just be on mute if we're not talking, that would be very, very helpful to cut back on any kind of background noise. Thank you so much. But if you need help with social media in any way, please feel free to reach out to Jess. We can loop in Angie if needed, but Jess would be happy to talk with you, connect with you, help to strategize maybe on some social media techniques and tips. Also, just a reminder that if there's something that you want us to post on the CPCF page, the Pray USA page, the In God We Trust page, and even some of these newer, like as Leah mentioned, the Pray America, which has millions of followers, we want to help build your network by doing that and helping to get the word out about what you all are doing. So just a reminder that we want to help with that as much as possible. Also, as I know you all are very familiar with our legal team, and many of you have benefited from their efforts, some states have not had as much need, but we, again, just want to remind you all that our legal team is here. They will be working, they're actually going out to Minnesota to testify at a hearing pretty soon. So just a reminder, they're available in that way. They are writing letters. They'll offer legal counsel. They will vet legislation. They are here to help as much as possible. So appreciate you all ensuring that your legislators are aware of that resource, as well as the Religious Liberty Measures Report. That is such an important document. They poured hours and hours into that. And the goal was really to help equip these legislators, to help them not have to go out of their way to look for best practices legislation or talking points, but really the legal team did an excellent job in putting that document together. It's a very long document, but we know that many have benefited from that. So just want to remind you that that is a resource that we want to make sure the legislators are very aware of, including the talking points. I think that's such a key component of that document as well. And with Project Blitz, again, is just the name of kind of the effort to help track the religious freedom legislation and then mobilize around it as needed, whether it be positive or negative, so pro-religious freedom or opposing religious freedom. We're tracking over 250 bills right now at the national and state levels. We're seeing God We Trust moving forward in many states, which is exciting. A couple of bills to be just aware of, and again, most of you are, I think, but we were alerted to a new version of this conversion therapy ban. It's an expanded version. Basically, the concept is that this bill should have become law, would prevent licensed counselors, essentially, from counseling a minor who's struggling with sexual identity and with a biblical worldview. And so this new expanded version would prevent pastors and religious leaders, anybody from being able to counsel a minor who's struggling with their sexuality from a biblical perspective. So that is a bill that we saw pop up in California, and we're doing what we can to help there. But these conversion therapy ban bills are pretty much in all 50 states right now. I know they've passed in New Jersey, one version has passed in New Jersey and California, and they're working on trying to get them through all the states. So we just want to watch for those, as well as what they call the non-discrimination bills. But we can talk more about that later. But again, just thank you all for doing such a great job on staying on top of the legislation and helping to communicate with us when we can help mobilize. We found that it really does help. And it's, again, when we say mobilize, it's going to coalition partners who have networks in the various states who will ask their networks to take action on whatever that action may be. So, good. Well, and again, a lot of the states, believe it or not, are wrapping up session. So we appreciate you all thinking about that out-of-session strategy and trying to meet with your legislators to think about what they can be doing while out of session, whether that be Pray You With Say events or thinking about how to mobilize around in God We Trust, or if they want to have prayer calls, or some other type of events, you know, coordinate town halls, something, and some utilizing their time when they're out of session to help promote this message and to build the network. So those are, again, obviously the types of conversations that we know that you all are having or will be having. We also ask that you would send us a prayer caucus member list. We want to make sure that our records are updated and also that we're able to communicate with any new legislators, providing them the email that goes out usually bi-monthly, that is specifically for legislators, and then also we just want to make sure that they're in the communication list loop and that our list on the website and things are updated. So if you wouldn't mind sending us that prayer caucus member list, that would be great. All right. Well, any questions on anything that I mentioned? Okay. And if not, if you do think of something, we can always, of course, talk afterwards. But I want to turn it over to the states, and again, this is where we just take 2 to 3 minutes to give an update on as it relates to religious freedom for the newer states. Anything that you may have, you know, comments or questions on, we'll be happy to do that now. Is there someone who's eager to share this morning on things that have been going on in your state, or you have specific things that you want to address?
Well, Summer, this is Donna in Kansas. As you know, we've been having quite a bit of conversation about the Adoption Protection Act. This is a religious freedom bill. So is it okay if I share about that one?
Yes, please do. You've been working very hard on that.
Okay. Well, the Religious Freedom Act was heard in both the Senate Fed and State and the House Fed and State, but it didn't come out of committee. There was some issues with pressure from some of the chairs. So anyway, they took it to the Senate and added it as an amendment to an existing bill, and there was quite lengthy debate. I listened to all of it. Last night it got very, very heated, and at one point one of the liberal people said, would you define sin, and tried to back our people into a corner to say, you know, about a man and a man and so forth. And, but anyway, the Senate president, who normally is very quiet, kind of came unglued and really came to our rescue and gave a great testimony about religious freedom. She said, if you can't do this, then before long you're going to say that, you know, the Catholic hospitals or the Christian hospitals or all the Christian universities can't possibly ever use any state money. So, long story short, it was added as an amendment to an existing bill. Now, we hope today that that bill will get voted on in the Senate and passed. And so it will have to go then to the House, Fed and State. And so it's a pretty big thing because, as you all remember, when in Boston in 2010, when the Catholic Charities had to close down their adoption agency and were forced out, we're having the same kind of situation here with faith-based situations. And so anyway, we could definitely use your prayers over the next couple of weeks and hope that this Adoption Protection Act will pass and the people will be able to keep their sincerely held beliefs. And for the 14 of the about 45 child placement agencies in our state, they would be able to continue to hold to their sincerely held beliefs. So, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Donna. And you've been, I mean, you are working tirelessly through your own network, and you know, which has been a huge benefit to this network as well, to mobilize around this and to, I know you're at the Capitol regularly and doing all that you can, you know, on radio shows and, you know, coordinating with various prayer networks and so forth, and to ensure not only that people are praying but taking action. And you're sending out emails to your network through CPCF and so forth regularly too. So we thank you for all your efforts on that. And again,
well, you know, thank you for your help too.
Well, it's an honor, but this is such an important bill because, again, there's no protections necessarily for faith-based adoption agencies that want to only, you know, that believe in the traditional marriage and want to make sure that children are adopted into traditional families. So, a very important bill. So, thank you, Donna.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Pam,
we have one here in Minnesota.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Elizabeth. I did hear Elizabeth first, and then with Gail. Thank you.
That's fine.
Well, I just had a quick question, and maybe it's more about resources now. But yesterday, our governor signed into law the expanded conversion therapy bill. So that passed in Washington. He signed it yesterday, and what I'm finding personally, and I. is the other side of it is our citizens, you know, this happens under their nose. They don't even know it's happening. The church didn't know it happened, the pastors, different people. And I've already in the last week had two people come forward and say, well, what do I do? One is a pastor and one is a Christian mother, and she is dealing with a 16-year-old daughter with gender dysphoria and all of that. And so now I just, my heart is stirred that now our, you know, the body of Christ is left here with no resources. Now what do we do for counseling for their children? You know, that this is put in place and they're wondering, what do we do? And so I'm trying to search a little bit to give them some direction or resources or something for counseling for their children. Because now they're just, you know, now that the law is passed, it's like, well, everyone's on their own to try to figure it out. So,
I have some thoughts, but we'll talk about that offline, and we'll connect with our legal team too to find out what.
Right.
You know, I'm going to ask them to look at the bill and then also come up with maybe ideas on how to circumvent the language.
Thank you.
And if you could share that with us, since that bill is in all 50 states, as you say, it'd be very helpful to all of us, I think.
Yeah, and the more that we can get the word out about these bills, like Elizabeth said, these are, you know, a lot of people don't even know that these types of bills are out there. So we try to do what we can. We've been focusing primarily on trying to advance good religious freedom legislation. We do, you know, we did mobilize on that bill specifically in Washington. And we, you know, we again try to bring awareness through the weekly prayer update and so forth. But the more that we can all, again, in your conversations, in the churches, in emails, in on social media, that we can bring attention. We have to be careful how we do it, but people have to be aware so that there's no, you know, so people can be proactive, essentially, and go on the defense if needed. But yes, I'll send what I do find out just so that we can have that as a tool. Great. Thank you, Elizabeth. And we are continuing to pray for you and your husband as well. So thank you for being on today. And Dale in Minnesota, I know you had some comments as well.
Yes, thank you. We have a request from our caucus co-chair, Senator Dan Hall. He has a bill before the Senate promoting our national motto, In God We Trust, and promoting it in a way that provides for every public school, every private school in the state of Minnesota to post In God We Trust on campuses and in every classroom. So he's asking for prayer. He's getting some pushback, which seems crazy, but not so much. So that's the request, that the bill for In God We Trust to post that national motto in our schools and all of our classrooms across the state of Minnesota would pass.
Yes, thank you, Dale. And Senator Hall knows to update us with the hearing date. We're watching as well, but our legal team will be out there. A member from our legal team will be out there to help at the hearing. So, and to do
great.
It as
thank
well.
You.
And may I offer some support there?
Yes, please. You all have been doing some great work there in Arkansas. Please do.
Well, it's very exciting, and I shared the story with Summer yesterday. We did get this bill through in Arkansas in our last session, and we've already distributed over 5,000 of these posters. We negotiated really special pricing. And so what organizations have done, like mine, from an American Speak side, is we raise the funds to pay for these posters and either lamination or specially negotiated frame prices through Hobby Lobby. And we show up at the school or the State Department building, and we just give them to them, and with a copy of the law that says that, you know, they have to put them in their buildings. Most cases, they're happy to receive them, but in other cases where you have a superintendent that has pushback. So if Senator Hall needs any encouragement or anything at all, please reach out to me. Yesterday we were in a tiny unity meeting, and we just said to the group, by the way, here's a poster that we'd like to get in all the schools in Harrison. We have 830 classrooms, and we had double the money that we needed to take care of all the classrooms in that particular city in minutes. One person said, when I saw that poster, my heart leapt out of my chest. They were so excited. And a little boy came up, and he said, Mr. Bishop, I'm homeschooled. And I don't have a classroom, but I want one of those posters. Can I give you a dollar and get a poster? It was just the most moving moment. So We talk all the time about what's happened to our country since we took God out of our classrooms in 1963 as part of our presentations to groups. And now we get to talk about, and now we're putting it back in the classrooms.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
You bet.
Summer, this is Marlene from Tennessee.
Yes, hi, Marlene. Yes.
And just to say thank you for that information, the lady, I can't remember your name, that just talked, we just passed the In God We Trust here in Tennessee overwhelmingly, and hopefully the governor is going to sign it, but even if he doesn't, it will become law, and the caucus is thinking and considering ways that we could actually, the caucus could get that in every school or to every school board. So that gave me some ideas because we were talking about that earlier this week. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Yes, and it we have resources as well that we've created that basically shows the legal support for it. I mean, again, it's law since 1956, and then also it has information about when Congress reaffirmed that In God We Trust is our national motto, 396-9, that was just in 2011, but also encouraged the public display of our national motto. So we basically put together just a quick resource with some of the legal support, the fact that it's law, you know, the historical aspect of it, and then again the reaffirmation of Congress that's very, very handy to hand when going into schools and so forth. And again, with drone law that is reaffirming that this needs to be done.
Right.
And just to add to that, even if your state has not taken action on this, states can still take action because of the federal oversight of this. So just so you know, if you are excited, you're inspired about this, and your state hasn't taken action, that doesn't have to stop you from doing something around this.
Hey, Summer, it's Bill.
Yes, hi, Bill. Go ahead.
This is just an FYI kind of thing with a question, not applicable to what you all have just talked about, but does every state have a legislative research commission helping their legislators? Do you guys all have that in your states like we do in Kentucky?
Yep, we do in Arkansas.
Okay. My thinking is that every state does. The question is, and the instruction is, there is probably somebody in that legislative research commission that you can give your emails to that will print out to you the weekly actions going on in that legislation of all the different that's going on in that legislature, of all the different kinds of legislation that's going on. That can be printable and given to the church, your churches, to help keep the church members updated to what's actually going on in their state. Now, I've printed this out. I've not taken this to church yet. I probably got to get approval from the pastor, which I'm sure I can. But nonetheless, it's very informative and important that our church members know what's going on in our state capitals. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Do you think that this could be something that you all could utilize in the church for information to your people? Anybody?
I think that's a great thought.
It is. I've been getting steadily daily emails from the guy in our legislative research commission who has allowed me to give him my email because I've asked him. I said, hey, I want to know what's going on, what's passed every day. I can read the legislative record magazine that comes out every day. but I need to give something to the church, something easy and simple. House bill number so-and-so passed, didn't pass, and so on and so forth. So I get this. And it's printable and easily made copies of and set on the table in the foyer of your church. Some people will be interested that there's an 11-week abortion message goes to the governor. That's what this particular one is about. The church should know about that and know how to pray about that. That's the reason for it, in my opinion.
Great idea, Bill. Great idea.
Yeah, and again, just to mention, the websites, your various state websites, have the ability to track bills, track specific, you can search bills,
right.
You can search legislation. Again, we're tracking religious freedom bills, and we do have all of that information, which we can share, which we do talk about and share, but we can also give you in a different way if you want. But you can also go on the state website, create a track bill list, and it'll update you daily or regularly, however often you want it. Yeah, and then
that's
just
right.
A matter of getting it to people who
But if
care,
we would take
so.
The initiative of making the copies and taking them to the church, you know, you can put them in everybody's hands standing there at the door, I guess. That depends on whether your leadership would allow you to do it or not, but or just sit it on a table in the foyer for those of it who would have interest in it. And surprisingly enough, there's so many that don't.
I know some of the states have we've talked about as part of that state supplemental strategy, but have identified regional leaders that have connections to the various various churches. So what would be ideal is being able to disseminate that information to those folks, and then they would have people potentially in the various churches who are maybe a point person and it's connected with the pastor and would be able to give update. I mean, ideally that would be a good model just to streamline and disseminate information quickly. But I think it's a great idea and very, very needed and necessary. It's a matter of all the connections coming into place. Thank you, Bill. So the Legislative Research Commission, is that just a website they can go on? I'm not familiar actually with the legislative.
It's a state thing. You can go to, for instance, in our state, it's lrc.ky.gov. So you could go to your whatever your initials of your state is, you know, lrc.whatever.gov, and you could pull up that LRC News is what it's generally called, LRC e-news, and that's how mine prints up. Now, I've got a special deal with this guy. His name appears on the printout, but I've gone to the actual office and said, hey, I want emails of what's going on here. And they say, sure. We got hundreds of them. We send it out to thousands of people daily. So they would do it.
Fantastic. Good. And people should also ideally jump, you know, sign up for those emails, you know, sign up for emails of the policy councils and the legislative research commissions and different ones so that it be getting the regular updates. Thank you, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Summer, this is Joel in Nebraska. And yesterday was a big day on the abortion front for us in Nebraska. First, our main budget, one of our main budget bills, LB 944, passed. We had put very strict language about Title X spending in the bill. The Democrats complained we were just going to completely defund Planned Parenthood, but we sought a compromise. But anyway, no clinics that perform abortions will receive any Title X funding in the state of Nebraska. So that was a victory there. And then late last night, Senator Albright's bill passed, LB 1040, which provides certificates for non-viable births. And they kind of put her through the ringer. They were posing questions, well, what if a doctor places three fertilized eggs in a woman and she has her flow and they all come out, can she get three certificates for non-viable birth? And she just responded, yeah, if she wants to. But anyway, that bill has advanced. And so yesterday was a big day on the abortion front in Nebraska.
Thank you, Joel. I know that it sounds like the prayer caucus is continuing to grow, and Senator Watermeyer is stepping up and leading the charge there. We appreciate your efforts to help him make that happen. Also, as being someone who's in the Capitol, do you have any insight for those that may not have as many connections in the Capitol on ways, well, maybe I'll talk to you offline and just, I'm trying to see if there's anything that you could recommend, any ways that you could recommend them getting access to religious liberty information with, you know, but there's obvious ways, and I'll just follow up with you after that and see if there's anything that we haven't already talked about. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate your insight. Just a couple of things from people who were not able to be on the call. Pam did, she was at Florida Supreme Court this morning leading prayer. She didn't specify what it is, but she did ask for prayer for her, and I didn't have a chance to ask her what exactly she needed prayer for, but please keep Pam in prayer, and we'll just agree with whatever they're praying for. I know she's continuing to lead prayer in the Capitol regularly, I think it's 7 a.m. I think she's very, very, a very strong support to the prayer caucus there, and has been very instrumental on many fronts. Also, New Mexico, and Tom in New Mexico is the state director there. He's not able to get on the calls very often, and has not been able to get on because of his job, but he and the New Mexico prayer caucus are still going strong. They're working on building the prayer caucus right now. Representative Gallegos took one of the letters supporting student prayer, essentially, and student religious freedom that our legal team wrote, and was disseminating that to media outlets and newspapers. I mean, he's doing what he can to help get the word out about religious freedom and the need for religious freedom, and then the right for students specifically to express their faith. So they're continually doing what they can to help the frontline defenders of faith in New Mexico. Also, again, Pastor McIntosh in Connecticut is working to coordinate their annual legislative prayer breakfast. So this is with legislators and pastors, and every year it's a bipartisan effort, and is a very, very it's a highlight of the year. The chairmen are always very excited to participate and are thankful for the outcome. So she asked for prayer for them as they coordinate this year's prayer breakfast. Just a minute is left, and I want to make sure that everybody's had a chance to share that wants to or ask a question that you may have before we end the call today.
Just some of this is Mike in Kentucky. Just real quickly, we finish our session today, tomorrow. Actually, today is the last day, and then it goes to veto for a couple of weeks. We did get a couple of life bills passed. It looks like one is the dismemberment bill for 11 weeks. I think it's 11 weeks that can have an abortion at some point that dismembers the child using that procedure. And that's going to go to the governor. And there was a significant resolution honoring pregnancy health centers, basically in contrast to California's law that requires pregnancy centers to advertise for abortion. For religious liberty, we did not get the bill that would protect pastors from having to perform homosexual marriages, even though that's not being done in our state that we know of. It doesn't require it. We hope to get that next year. And a couple of other bills that make it past today, we're really hoping. One is a simple one, day of prayer for school. And another one has to do with religious free speech or post-secondary university campuses free speech, which is important nationally. So just a quick report on all the stuff going on.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mike. All right. Any last comments, questions, thoughts? All right. Pastor Walker, would you close us out in prayer today, please? You know, I know he said he had some background noise and was going to have to be on mute. I just remembered that.
I'm sorry, Summer.
Pastor, there you are. I was just going to say, if you wouldn't mind closing out in prayer, but I remembered that you said you may have some background noise there, may not be able to speak up. Do you have a minute to just close us in prayer?
I'll just pray real quick here.
Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to come before you and hear the updates and to be able to connect. And Lord, I just pray for your will to continue to be done across our country. We thank you for the ways that we've seen faith overcome, and we thank you, Lord, for those that are on the forefront of the battle. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to have your grace upon your servants, and Lord, that you would give us unity, and I pray, Lord, that we would have civility with those that are on a different side than we are. But Lord, give us favor with our legislators across this country. Help us, Lord, as we try to impact our institutions of higher education. Lord, I pray that you would continue to open doors there, that we would see some young folks really know what it means to know you. And, Lord, I pray that you would give us a good witness for Christ there. May we have boldness to speak as we ought to speak, Lord. And I pray that you'll just bless each one that's involved in the caucus, in the Prayer Caucus Foundation. Thank you for this time that we could come together. And, Lord, I pray that you would bless each one that's here and each one that couldn't join. I pray, Lord, that you would help them, give them your grace, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Again, thank you all for being on. We'll send out the audio as well as a couple of the resources that we talked about, and we'll also be following up on the state director retreat. So thank you all. Bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Summer.
Great Easter.
Thanks, Summer.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Summer?